Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. All it took is me having a four-parter episode, and I know the intro now.
There you go.
This is exciting.
Every time you start having a week off, you'll forget.
Well, I was gonna say, after a while, when she starts fucking up again, we'll just make her do a big one.
No,
that'll be your punishment.
Mm-hmm.
What other big one could there be?
Oh, you could find them.
There's serial killers everywhere.
Find another one with a book.
But like four parts, though.
There's serial killers everywhere.
Can you remind us where we left off?
Yes. So, this is very exciting. We're on the fourth and final part of John Wayne Gacy. Woo! It's March is Gacy's month. It's also his birthday month. But, you know, fuck him.
I don't want to say, like, in honor of John Wayne Gacy.
It's
like,
not.
We don't like you, bro. This just worked out this way.
I'm sure one of his victims was born in March. We can dedicate it to...
Okay. Yeah, you look into that. I don't know if I only have
still
their last.
Still talk to Lacey about where
dates.
We left off.
Okay, great. Yeah. So we last episode we covered all of his victims because they were all found under his basement, or sorry, in his crawl space,
or in the driveway, garage.
So one was under the garage. One was under the driveway. 27, I think, were in the crawl space. He ran out of space, and four were in the river.
Do either one of you hear, like, static?
Yes.
Okay.
It might not be static. Lou has the kettle on.
Oh, maybe.
Your microphone is so powerful.
Okay, go ahead.
So, that's where we left off. I can hear it.
Okay, well, ignore it. It'll stop in soon.
It's ruining my flow. We got to the point of starting the proceedings of his trial. Like, we got to, like, we did jury selection. Pretty much, they chose a jury outside the county because there was so much news and everyone knew the name John Wayne Gacy. But the court case was still happening in Chicago. I think that's back to where we were. Does that sound good, Lace? Do you have any questions?
Sounds good. Nope.
Okay.
I just needed a reminder.
So
far, I have found nobody born in March.
We'll find something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am only on the fifth one, so.
Well, there's a lot more to go. So the judge decided that they would work 6 days a week with full days on Saturdays. With the amount of evidence and exhibits, he just wanted to plow through this.
Sure.
Wednesday, February 6th, 1980, opening statements began. So on the prosecution side, we had William Kunkel, Terry Sullivan, Robert Egan, and James Varga. And then on Gacy's side, we had his two lawyers, Sam and... I forgot the other one's name. Hold on. Sam and Bob.
I couldn't find... A lot of them didn't have their birthdays listed, so I looked up celebrity people with birthdays in March. And Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
Catherine O'Hara.
This one goes out to Bryan Cranston.
Oh, okay, Catherine O'Hara. Let's go.
Went to her.
So,
should we talk like her? No.
To Bebe. You fold in the Chiefs. Sorry.
Okay, but like, what does that mean?
You just... Here's what you do. You just... You fold it in.
How do you fold it in?
David, I can't show you everything.
Okay, well, can you show me one thing?
You just fold it in.
I don't know how to fold in something that's shredded.
David! What does burning smell like? Great, now I'm seeing bubbles.
Oh, God. Bailey was ready.
Fucking love that show so much. What'd you say?
Me too.
I said Bailey came ready.
Yeah.
I want to, like, name one of my babies David, so I... David! I wouldn't be able to say his name seriously, though.
You should get a dog, so it's less of a commitment. Name David.
David! Get off the couch!
That way you can also have an excuse to, like, shout it more, like, when you're outside. Anyway. Sorry. So, the state first called two young men to testify that Gacy had propositioned. First one was Robert Zimmerman, who was an employee at Gacy's favorite Shell gas station. The second one was Anthony Antonucci. He testified that Gacy used handcuffs to restrain him while he made unwanted sexual advances toward him. Anthony was successful in resisting these advances, which John then dismissed as a joke. Or sorry, Gacy dismissed as a joke. Because it is.
It was a joke. It was a joke a lot of the times.
You guys are blowing it all out of proportion.
You're probably right.
David Cram was called, which, if you remember, David was Gacy's one of his best friends, but also one of his, like, highest level employees.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, it was a joke, just like that guy from our Shooting the Shit episode last week, who just jokingly shot his friend in the chest.
Oh yeah, when they were taking down Christmas decorations?
Yeah, it was just a joke.
So many jokes these
Didn't
days.
He do that with a shotgun?
Yeah, but a joke.
It was a joke, Bailey.
It feels less like a joke when you use a bigger gun. That's me.
Well,
okay. That's I was going to say, I feel like it was... Any gun would be less of a joke. I think a BB gun would have been more appropriate. Or a paintball gun. That could have been a joke.
That would hurt, too.
I know, but like then the probably argument that it was like just a joke.
But those, like... The speed that a paintball gun fires is fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I agree that he probably should be grounded and have his paintball gun taken away, and maybe she shouldn't talk to him anymore, but at least she'd be able to talk to him. Because she can't right now. Because he jokingly shot her in the chest. As a joke.
So David Cram testified as well for the state. He told the story of how Gacy and him met. David was apparently hitchhiking when Gacy picked him up. Cram actually lived with Gacy for a period of time. In 1976, on Cram's birthday, this was actually a special interest to the state. Cram said that on that birthday, Gacy was dressed in one of his clown outfits, because he was Pogo, the clown. And he came up with a handcuff trick. Cram,
I hate the handcuff trick.
I know. Cram, allowed him to do it on him, so he became handcuffed in front of him. Gacy then grabbed the middle of the handcuffs, swung Cram around the room a couple times, and then told him, "I'm going to rape you."
Oh, Jesus.
But was he just joking?
No, and Cram didn't think that either. He was able to get up and kick him in the head. While Gacy was down, Cram was able to grab the keys and free himself. Rossi, Gacy's other, like, top employee and other best friend, in my research, it said that he testified, but it was very limited because he retained his own counsel who didn't want him asking, like, so many questions. So, like, you know how Rossi took a car from John Zig, one of the murder victims?
Yeah, didn't Gacy sell it to him?
Yeah, I wonder if Gacy or like Rossi was under like investigation for that, or like how much like he was a part of it, and that's why he had counsel who was like, yeah, I can't talk that much. I don't know. Dr. Robert Stein, the Cook County Medical Director, testified. He said that the victims were strangled. Many were found with ropes still around their necks. Many were also had some kind of cloth stuffed into their throats. They also called like kind of like character witnesses, sort of, I think, using that term loosely because I don't know the definition of it fully. But like for each victim, they had people testify about like who they were and everything. And after 3.5 weeks of testimony from the prosecution, the state of Illinois rested. So Gacy was going for the insanity defense, or his lawyers were. So when the issue of sanity is brought up in a case, it's the defense's responsibility to bring it up. Once it's raised as an issue, it falls on the burden of proof to be proven
Sure.
by the state. To be like, beyond a reasonable doubt, this person is seen at all the times of the offenses. So like, the defense can say that without like, I guess, proving it, but it's up to the
They don't
state to
have to
disprove
prove.
it.
Okay, so they don't have to like prove he's sane. It's just that the state has to prove, or they don't have to prove he's
That
insane. The
he's,
state has to prove that he is sane.
yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And Thursday, February 21st, 1980, his lawyers presented the first witness, and when sanity is coming as their defense, they needed to bring up his mental status. So they actually brought up some of his living victims and close friends, to talk about his sanctity. Yeah. Did I say that right? Is that a word?
Sanity.
Energy.
There it
You
is.
said sanctity.
I slipped into an accent. Sanctity.
Sanctity.
So Jeffrey Rignall testified, which, if you remember, he was the one that was like held for like a couple days and then woke up in the middle of a park, like thinking that he was attacked and raped. Police did nothing. So he stuck out by an exit he knows that his attacker took and watched for Gacy's car. And then went back to the police and was like, hey, this guy did it and everything. While on the stand, he broke into tears and suddenly vomited, which just sounds, I mean, I can't imagine the smell in that courtroom. During questioning, the defense asked, do you have an opinion as to whether he appreciated or could appreciate the criminality of his acts at the time? Yes.
I'm sorry, is Lacey okay?
Yeah, Brandon kicked a balloon and it scared me.
Is he trying to
induce labor?
Scare me? I
That's gonna
think
get
that's the
views.
plan. It would too.
The title's John Wayne
How
Gacy and
do
a
you
baby?
feel? Are you okay?
He just
Lacey.
looked at me and he went, I want my baby.
Lacey,
So I guess
listen to
that
me.
was the plan.
Look, blink twice if you need help. How
That
many
was more
times
than
was that?
twice.
Yeah,
That's
that's like
confusing
twice.
now. We're not
I don't know
sure what
what
you
you
want
mean.
now.
Nobody knows. It's probably fine.
Is Brandon just walking around popping balloons all
Who's the
day?
bathroom now? That was just a drive-by.
Where's the air horn? Is he gonna pull that out next?
Drive by.
No.
Yeah, keep drinking. That'll solve all your problems, Martini girl.
Me and my
Okay,
martini baby.
Mama Martini.
Jeffrey testified saying, by the way, he attacked me in the beastly manner that he did. And what he did to me, yes, he, like, believes that Gacy didn't have, like, he was crazy. Which is, like, a weird question to ask someone. Like, Lacey, do you think that Drew appreciated or could appreciate the criminality of her acts at the time?
By the way that she is, and, like, how she is and what she does.
Yeah, like how she acted. Do you think that she could appreciate the law?
Yeah. Yeah. Because of how
Bailey, she is. Ask me.
Okay. Drew, do you think or do you have an opinion as to whether Lacey could appreciate or appreciated the criminality of her acts at the time?
I don't know what you're talking about. Can you rephrase that with smaller words that make more sense?
No, it's my job to...
Confuse?
Yes.
Okay. Yes?
Then had Michael Reed testify. Also, do you want to pull up the PowerPoint?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Yes.
Yeah. So, Michael Reed lived with Gacy years earlier and considered him a dear friend. Do you want to hear how Gacy treats his dear friends?
Well, we know that he treats all his fake friends really well.
Yes, he does.
So, does he treat his real friends really, really good?
Don't play that yet. Stay right there for me. Yeah, he lets them live with him. So, Michael testified that he and Gacy were friends. He moved into Gacy's house and knew him as a good person, a good father, and a good family man. Which,
was he?
Good father and family man kind of seem redundant.
Was he a good father? Because it seems like he kind of, like, sucked.
Yeah.
I think he loved his kids. But, like, I mean, he never really got a chance to know his biological kids. Because you remember he went to, like, prison for, like, a little bit. And then his wife divorced him.
Yeah.
She also took the kids. So...
Yeah, I figured. I would hope that they weren't just, like, hanging out in the house while he was doing all this shit.
Just didn't seem like we heard any indication that he tried to get them back.
Or, well, like, by that time, he met Carol, I think her name was, and she already had two daughters. He had a new family.
And that was all he needed.
He could only handle two kids.
Yeah, I also want to say, like, I can't even remember if you told us their names. So, like, to me, that indicated that they were not very involved in his life.
I told you his biological children's names. Yeah, one was Michael.
We've just learned a lot of names.
Yeah. Catherine?
I don't Katie? Think so. Let me look. Where the fuck are the kids?
They're not in his life.
Not anymore. Oh, Michael, John, and Christine. Close, Drew. Those were his kids.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever communicated with him again after their mom took him. But anyway. So one night, Michael, his friend, and John were in the garage at night, unloading equipment from the car when the lights in the garage went off. John was like, it's no big deal. Fuse just went out. There are some extra fuses under the workbench. When Michael went to look under the workbench, he was on his hands and knees, and then he was suddenly hit with something on his head. He turned around and realized that Gacy hit him with a hammer. He got up and looked at Gacy, who looked like he was going to hit him again, and he had a strange look in his eyes. On the stand, Michael said, Gacy looked at me and then put the hammer down. He quickly seemed sorry for hitting me. Gacy said he didn't know what came over him, but he felt like he wanted to kill him.
Sorry that he didn't kill him or knock him out in the first hit. And then he was like, oh, shit, he's looking right at me.
I'll just be honest.
How do I play this off? Like, if I snuck up behind one of you and hit you in the head with a hammer, and you turn around, I was sitting there holding a hammer, just looking surprised. Wouldn't you be like, "What the fuck? Get out of my house!"
If Lacey, first of all, I've known you for a very long time, so if you hit me in the head with a hammer, I turn around and be like, "Lacey, the fuck are you doing?" Yeah. And then your response was, "Sorry, I just really wanted to kill you." I would be like, "Okay, here's what we're gonna do now.
Let's talk about that feeling.
Let's, you know what?
Let's unpack that.
Let's still be best friends." And I just, you know, I just won't turn my back on you going forward.
This is so out of character for you that I know I'm probably fine going forward. It was a slip up.
Yeah, it was probably just like, you know what? Impulse control can be a tricky thing.
Sometimes the intrusive thoughts win.
Yeah.
And you know, I've learned.
I'm just glad you did it to me and not a stranger, because then you'd be in some real trouble.
Yeah.
Imagine. You ever seen the videos that's like other people's intrusive thoughts of like, what happens if I eat all the cake? And then like your intrusive thoughts that are like, what happens if I drive my car off this bridge?
Yeah.
Gacy's in that category. Actually, he's in another category. Yeah. They then called Gacy's mom to testify. Because his dad is dead.
Oh, no.
Well, you dropped that in there.
Well, I mean, it's not a loss. No offense, because he was abusive.
I'm not offended.
Yeah. She was to show that he was beaten as a child and therefore suffered unspeakable trauma that imprinted on him. Which, like, yes, but also not everyone that also, has a traumatic childhood murders.
This is going to sound uncaring, but, like, I'm kind of sick of people's trauma, you know?
Yeah.
Not the people who do their best to deal with it, but the people who are like, my dad beat me, so I'm going to kill dozens of people.
I'm going to hurt other people because I got hurt.
I'm sick of it being used as an excuse for you to go and do more harm to others. But also, I feel like we're in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it was pretty normal.
Well, actually, the 80s. But yeah, I mean, like, Gacy growing up, like, his dad was, like...
Yeah, the time period when he grew up, he was not... Yeah. You know, maybe that's another reason. We talk about how there used to be so many serial killers. The trauma.
Yeah, you know what? I was also thinking, so, the one day I was driving... I was driving somewhere. And I was thinking about how John Wayne Gacy was clearly repressing some sexual desire that he felt he couldn't, be.
Just be,
Jeffrey Dahmer, similar situation. And I just kind of wonder, like, if that was one of the reasons that back then we had so many serial killers. Because society was much more unwelcoming to people who were homosexual or bisexual. And so men felt they needed to suppress those desires. And then
it came out in violent ways.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer's dad, like, supportive, though?
If guys could have just been gay.
You guys were talking at the same time.
Sorry. I said, wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer's dad, like, supportive? Like, I mean, like, not like
Gacy's dad,
not of being gay, but like, I don't think so anyway. But like, he when he got caught, wasn't he involved, like, with, like, trying to protect him?
Well, this headline says Jeffrey Dahmer's dad agonized over the idea of raising a serial killer.
Well, sure, I think a lot of it would be
so.
I don't think anyone's excited about it.
So even though... I mean, I'm not really sure, but even if he wasn't abusive towards Jeffrey, Jeffrey was still raised in the time when, like, it wasn't okay to be gay.
Yeah. I also so. Think it has something to do with the fact that, like, just in general, people were, like, assholes to their kids. Like, yeah. John's dad was a World War I veteran, and... I mean, we haven't had a world war like that, but PTSD is a thing. And
knock on wood.
Oh, sorry. But PTSD is a thing, and
yeah, sure, that had
something to do with how he decided to raise his kids.
I feel like back when he was growing up, parents were more like, this is how it's going to be. Deal with it. And nowadays, parents are very much like, I don't want to traumatize my kids. So I'm going to do everything I can. And gentle parenting is a thing now. So,
and this is for me, who doesn't have children yet, but sees that. I feel like we're swinging so far the other way.
Yeah, I think that there could be a happy medium where you have... Because, you know, speaking from somebody who does have kids, gentle what? Parenting does not work all the time. You can tell your fucking 2-year-old, please get down off the chair, a million times. They're fucking 2. They're going to stay up on that chair. They might jump down and then climb right back up. Sometimes you have to lay down the law. But then, you know, go right back into gentle parenting.
It's be reminding like, me of...
I'm sorry I yelled. But when I tell you to get off the fucking chair, get off the shed.
It was reminding me of that. Get off the shed!
Okay, so this is another digression. Yeah. I've been rewatching Taskmaster, and the one season where Rose Matafeo is mm-hmm. on, and she's from New Zealand, and she cannot say shed.
Shed.
Shed. So shed. Every time I hear shed, in my head I'm like, shed.
Shed.
We don't have a shed. None of my friends have sheds.
What the fuck Greg is a goes, shed?
What about a shed?
Anyway, yeah. So after Gacy's mom testified, they brought up a string of psychiatric and psychological experts to testify on Gacy's behalf. Of the 7 that testified, and this is on either side, no 2 of them diagnosed Gacy the same way. They all agreed he was crazy, but there was a lot of different names they were thrown out there.
Did they all talk to him, or were they all just armchair diagnosing like us?
I think they all, I mean, they had to talk to him, I guess.
Well, sometimes people will, like, call experts to the stand, and they're just like, you know. Sorry, I don't know if this is right, but. Wasn't the one psychiatrist that was at the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial somebody who had never spoken to Amber Heard and was just reading notes?
I didn't actually watch all of that trial.
Oh, really?
I was involved. I really enjoyed the part. I remember a lot of it now.
Where the guy that worked for TMZ, when her lawyer was like, "So this is like really like your 15 minutes of fame," and he was like, "Some could be saying the same about you."
Yeah,
that was a good one. Anyway, so during one of these testimonies from one of the psychological experts, there's the word, Jesus Christ. Sorry. Kunkel on the DA side asked Dr. James Kavanaugh, "Is it possible to guarantee a person found not guilty by the reason of sanity and then committed to a mental hospital will remain there for the rest of his life?" So, Dr. Kavanaugh said, "It's absolutely impossible to guarantee." So, pretty much putting in the jury's minds that there's a doubt that if we say that Gacy is crazy and he's not guilty by reason of insanity and should go to a mental hospital, there's a possibility that he would get out. So, I mean, yes, it's a good thing, but also, like, horrifying. The prosecution argued that he was sane and in control of his actions, pointing to the elaborate steps he took in both to prepare for his murders and also conceal them. I mean, you don't come up with a handcuff trick or the rope trick where he made it into a tourniquet, just in a haze.
Yeah, also, you don't, like, bury 23 bodies under your house.
Well, maybe you don't.
By accident? Huh?
I said maybe you don't.
Yeah, I kind of limit it. I don't want, like, too many bodies under the house, because you gotta start worrying about smell.
That's true.
And, like, ancient burial grounds and poltergeisty, like the movie.
That took a very weird turn, but yeah, you're right.
Hauntings. I think everyone would agree that if you have 23 bodies in your house is going to be haunted. Maybe that's another reason why they demoed it.
Oh.
Because of all the haunting.
But they also moved the bodies, so wouldn't your soul move with your body?
So when you got that many, you can't risk anything sticking. What if they missed? What if there are so many that they ended up missing a couple? Because they were like, there can't be more than this. We're done. We've found enough. You know, can't risk it. Get rid of the house. Yes.
I was going to say, I think in Supernatural, they say that some ghosts stay where they were killed.
Is Supernatural a documentary that we should trust?
Okay. Yes. Bailey, would it make sense that all the ghosts are just hanging out in the cemetery? That would be crazy.
That's like a party that never ends.
Okay, but then, so that means exhausting. That if you are cremated, then you're just hanging out on the mantle?
No, I'd be
so mad. I'd like to be hanging out with my family. But I can, like, take a day trip, like normal, and go spook my friends.
You can't take a day trip! Bailey's just hopping
so mad about your plan. If your ghost shows up at Drew's house, she's gonna be like, what are you doing here?
Your ashes are over there.
Oh, go Bailey, home, Bailey.
Oh,
it seems like you're really picking apart my belief system, and I feel personally attacked and traumatized, so.
I mean, what is this without arguing over belief systems? And by this, I mean society and the world shit.
That's deep.
Okay. I know, I'm just like all over the place today. I'm just
anyway, week in. 5 into the trial, Gacy decided to add more drama to his case. His two lawyers had no idea this was happening, just FYI.
Oh, nice.
Gacy had written a letter to the judge from jail 2 weeks prior to this. The judge gave it to his lawyers. They read it. They ignored it. Gacy was not happy about that and decided to send him another letter saying he wanted to discuss it.
I'd be like, dude, will you stop calling me?
Gacy said, I will not be ignored.
So, just in court, the judge brought this to like the attention and was like, what's up with this? And Gacy was like, well, I want to talk about it. And
imagine being his lawyers and hearing the judge say that and being like, what letter?
So the judge decided to read the letter aloud.
Oh.
Yes.
It said,
sorry, hold on. It reminds me of like when you're passing notes in class and the teacher catches it and it's like, well, let's just see what this says. it wasn't good for everybody.
So it read, over 2 weeks ago, I asked that my trial be stopped, and I haven't heard from you.
Stop this.
It's like the girl from Lacey's story earlier, who was just like, you know what?
Stop investigating. I'm no longer interested in what happened.
When I asked my attorneys as to why we are not putting more witnesses, I am told that we don't have money to bring in an expert. I also asked for a mistrial. As never before has this court allowed a professional witness plant a seed in the jury head like it was done yesterday. This is when the Dr. Kavanaugh had said, like, oh, there's a possibility of him coming out if he's, like, sent to a mental institution.
So he's saying that guy planted seeds in the jury's head.
Yeah.
By saying he could come out.
Yeah.
But that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Okay. So did the
Everything
judge say, "Oh my God,
in a
you're right"?
trial is planting seeds in the jury's head. That's the whole
Oh,
point.
I'm not done. I still have like two more little paragraphs.
Yes, give us more.
So he then continued on to say, "I think that you can give them instructions until you're blue in the face, and you wouldn't take that out on their hands." When Kavanaugh said John Wayne Gacy would not qualify for commitment to a mental institution and would have to be set free if he were found not guilty by reason of insanity, as you know, other than so-called statements made by me and given in the self-serving manner by officers for the prosecution. This is a run-on sentence, Jesus Christ.
I was going to say, you take a
Yeah,
breath.
I'm still going.
She can't.
There
You
is
never
only
stop.
evidence that I own the house that was used for the bodies, their safekeeping. Until something is done to correct this injustice, I will no longer have anything to do with my attorneys, and I am taking back my word in regards to not saying anything in the courtroom. The
Oh.
prosecution continued to try to make me mad while the trial is going on with the taking of my PDM contractor labels and putting them all over the place. That's receiving of stolen properties, as I have never given my permission. And when yesterday, Greg Bedeau, who is one of the officers that helped arrest him, came up to me in co open court and told me that I should stop smiling, and swore at me, I don't have to take that. I don't think anyone should come forward to the prosecution tables until I am out of the courtroom. I'll wait to hear from you, and I will abide by your word.
I just my favorite part still is him saying, "I would like you to stop the trial. I asked you to stop it. You haven't. I'm not sure what the holdup is."
The part that like is such like a childish thing is like to like until this justice is incorrect, I'm not having any part in this.
Yeah,
Well,
I'm
it
just gonna
very
sit
much
here
reads
and not
like
say anything.
a spoiled kid who like
It
never
wait.
had any real consequences, and now that they're facing some, they're like, "I don't like this. Stop it."
I didn't he say like I'm not going to fulfill my promise of being quiet in court? So he's going to just be obnoxious and chatty? Yeah.
Please.
And then also, I love that he called the officer by his first name, because he
Yeah.
still thinks that they're friends.
Yeah. So pretty much, just to summarize the interaction after this, the judge was like, "So, like, what the fuck? Like, you want new lawyers? Like, you don't trust your lawyers?" And he's like, "No. Like, I trust him. I just don't think that like the insanity defense is like, I don't. I'm not insane. Like, I don't think that we should be doing that." And he's like, "Okay, you realize you're saying this in court." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. Like, I just disagree with it." And meanwhile, I can't imagine what his lawyers are doing behind him. They're probably like,
Just
"What the
banging their
fuck
heads on the
are you
table.
like? Can you just shut up?" Sorry. So after some back and forth, Gacy was just like, "Nah, you know what? Just continue." So the case went on. During all of it, Gacy, being the person that he is, really enjoyed all the media attention, even
Sure.
though he said it was like bad for business or whatever. Like he didn't like the that it's affecting his BDM contracts, whatever.
Is he still working?
No, but he still has contracts. Like, you know how you like hire a
Yeah.
contractor? Yeah, I mean he still has those. Like if he
I'm
got
like,
out, got off,
oh
he would
my God.
be like having to continue those.
He's delusional.
Yeah. He's crazy.
No, he's not. He just said he
Maybe.
wasn't.
He's so crazy he doesn't think he is. During all the media attention, he thought he deserved it by saying no one pulled off what I did and got away with it. So like I'm pretty much a rock star.
I'm
Okay,
so good at murder.
when did he say that? Because
I don't know.
during the trial? His lawyers
I
must
would
love
assume
him.
so. Finally, it was closing argument time. So how closing arguments went, the district attorney would do one first, then the defense would have an opportunity, and then another district attorney would like wrap it all together. Excuse me. So Terry Sullivan opened with saying, "Today is March 11th, 1980. On Thursday, March 13th, 2 days from now, John Mallory would have been 23 years old. If he had been allowed to live. Instead, his body was uncovered from John Wayne Gacy's crawl space. On Sunday, March 16th, Robert Pice would have celebrated his 17th birthday. Instead, his body was recovered from the Des Plaines River, the very river that he had volunteered to clean to become an Eagle Scout. Yes, Drew.
Those are two March birthdays that we could dedicate the episode to.
Hey.
Okay.
Same again?
John Mallory. Mowery. And Robert Pice.
Why did you spell it?
I don't know.
Should I write it down?
I don't know. I thought you were writing it down. I don't know. Anyway. Who the fuck was talking? Okay, Sullivan. Okay. You. He continued on to say he murdered 33 people. 27 of those were found under his house. One was found under the driveway. One was under the back of the garage. And 29 total on his property. Four were found in the river. John Gacy has accounted for more human devastation than any earthly catastrophes. That's a hard word. I submit that beyond a reasonable doubt, he is evil, he is vile, he is base, he is mean, he is diabolical, and he is a murderer who must be held responsible for his conscious acts. He used all of his victims, both dead and living, for his own selfish, egocentrical physical pleasures. During this, Sullivan pointed at Gacy and walked towards him, continuing, "John Gacy, you are the worst of all murderers. Your victims were the young and the unassuming, the naive." At this point, in open court, while this district attorney is saying this, pointing directly at Gacy, Gacy decides to nervously laugh, which only makes him look worse. Sullivan then continued, "If you find him not guilty, that is your choice. If you find him not guilty, then do so. Do so, remember that the 11 unidentified male bodies are still in the Court County morgue. If you do so, do in spite of body number 2, medical examiner number 1065, found in a cloth-like material in his throat, male, white, 5'9", 150 pounds, last seen July 29th, 1975, Chicago, Illinois. Identified December 19th, 1978 as John Bukovich." That little last paragraph of how he described that victim, Terry continued on recounting all the victims, all 33, like that, in front of the jury. Yeah.
Good for him.
Hi, babe. Then, at this point, Terry rested, and it was the defense attorney's time to give their closing arguments. They focused on Gacy's mental health and the fact that he was raised to hate homosexuals, but he was, and his brain was sick and couldn't understand the contradictions. They wanted to convince the jury to vote insanity so that we could study him and make sure that nothing like this would ever happen again. It's not as strong as the other closing arguments, I think. Mm-mm. On Wednesday, March 12th, 1980, Bill Kunkel, another district attorney, got up to give the final closing remarks. Could you go to the next slide and hit play for me?
Sure.
This is what Kunkel did.
"I had to put the crawl space opening right in front of the jury box. When I go to the victim board, I take each photo out, rip it out, actually tore a couple of them, so there's a big snap. I said, you want to show mercy to this killer, you show the same mercy that he showed. He took these lives off the face of the earth and put them here. And I threw them in the crawl space opening, let them bounce off the front wall of the jury and all over the tile floor. And And it was the big exhale and then total silence.
Theatrical. I like it.
Yeah. During his closing remarks, too, he also touched on how Gacy had a victim standing up on his head in the closet, and it caused the blood to drain out and got on his carpet. And it was found out that this is why Gacy started stuffing rags in their throats, because he didn't want the mess on his carpet.
You could also avoid the mess by not killing people in your house. Pro tip.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
We should start a segment called Pro Tips from Lacey.
Oh.
Here's the first one for free. Go ahead, Lacey.
If you don't want mess on your carpet, don't kill anybody in your house. Mm. That doesn't mean, like, kill them. I should just don't kill people.
Yeah, maybe we'll work on
deal with the mess.
And I that has been...
like, this is not advice.
And that has been Lacey's pro tip.
For the day. Or for the week. Thanks, Lacey.
You're welcome.
Back to Gacy. So...
it's like PBS.
Lacey and Gacy.
Oh, no.
So, the jury went to deliberate. Do you want to guess how long it took them to deliberate?
30 minutes.
1 hour.
Little higher, Lacey.
3 hours.
Two hours.
Lower.
One and a half hours.
An hour and 50 minutes.
Nice.
Ooh, okay.
And they found John Wayne Gacy guilty of all charges. Following day, they were to rule on the death penalty, because this is a death penalty case. They unanimously concluded that the court shall sentence the defendant to death.
Oh, no.
Originally, the judge ruled the statute, which requires the date to be excess of 90 days, that his original execution date would be June 2nd, 1980. That's if he doesn't, like, appeal. Gacy was sent to the Menard Correction Center in Chester for 14 years. He appealed his sentence and offered contradictory statements on the murders in interviews. He also later denied being guilty of any of the charges and had a 900 phone number set up with a 12-minute recorded message declaring his innocence. He went on news channel saying that he should be charged as an accomplice of at least, like, two, claiming that there were only two murders that he knew about, and he just helped dispose of them.
Was he the accomplice to his other personalities?
You know, he didn't say that. He wasn't saying that anymore while he was in prison, actually. Oh. He was confident he was going to get out, guys.
So because he was worried about his business.
Yeah. During his time, he studied the visual acts and painting. And many of his paintings depicted Gacy as Pogo the Clown. If you go to the next slide, you can see his paintings. And also, creepily, he painted the Seven Dwarves from Snow White. Oh, I don't know if I showed you guys this. I know I messaged it in our first episode, but he, amidst his murdering and everything, he got close enough to meet the First Lady, Miss Carter.
That's wild.
Yeah. Oh. Go to the next one. Hmm. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Museum of Death in New Orleans, which I've been to twice. I think they have like one or two of his paintings from prison.
I think he got beat up for this.
I'm sure he was on death row, so he never
I forgot.
Yeah, so he never really interacted.
I was like, if other inmates saw this shit, he would have gotten jumped for sure.
He would have gotten jumped for just his charges.
Yeah, but then later. you know, nobody's punched him in a while, and then they look over and they're like, are you drawing a fucking clown, dude?
Fuck you.
Get him.
October 1993, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear his final appeal.
Nice.
May 10th, 1994, the prison held a lottery for the media reporter for which one would appear as a witness for the execution. Gacy had his last meal, which was 12 fried shrimp, an entire bucket of KFC original recipe, a large order of fries, a full pound of fresh strawberries, and a large Diet Coke. Thoughts?
No.
Okay.
Shrimp and chicken is an interesting choice. Fried chicken. Kind of like a poor man's surf and turf.
He is a poor man. John said, I killed 33 times. You're only going to kill me once. Gacy outsmarted them again. That wasn't his final words, just FYI. He took one deep breath, closed his eyes, and that was it. He was executed by lethal injection. Supposedly, his final words were, kiss my ass, but from what I've read, a few people that were actually there don't remember hearing that. So, maybe it was like a rumor or something. Seems on par, like on par with him. By the time he died, he had, recounted everything, saying he didn't do any of it. He was completely innocent, and was found guilty because he had ineffective assistant of counsel. So pretty much all that, said fuck you to his lawyers, who really tried to do their best.
All that attention he was craving during his trial and enjoying having. He was like, you know what, this isn't actually benefiting me.
Yeah. The aftermath. In 1980, his house and all structures on the property were demolished. Drew, go back that one slide. After his trial, June 12th, 1981, Dr. Robert Sheen, the Cook County ME, said, I don't want to see you in your final resting place. It's just numbers, to the 11 boys that were left unidentified. Oh, sorry. It actually became 9. I think they found 2 of them. 9 donated brown caskets were displayed during a short service to honor the 9 unidentified Gacy victims. They were buried in separate cemeteries with their own gravesite service. Marker inscribed, We Remembered. October 2011, Cook County Sheriff's Department announced that it was undertaking a new effort to identify the remains of now 8 Gacy victims, whose names were still unknown. November 29th, 2011, they were able to identify 1 as William George Bundy. He was 19 and was a construction worker in Chicago. He was a diver and a gymnast, and he was heading to a party in 76. July 19th, 2017, they identified 16-year-old James or Jimmy Byron Hawkins. He left his Minnesota home in 1976 and was last heard in August 1976 with a phone call to his mom. October 25th, 2021, Francis Wayne Alexander was identified. He was a 21-year-old North Carolina native who moved to Chicago not long before he vanished. He disappeared between November 1976 and March 1977. They're still actively working on identifying the 5 remaining unnamed, unknown. And they encourage anyone that has information to please reach out, or if you think your loved one went missing around this time. Sam Gacy's lawyer was inspired by his involvement and personally authored procedures adopted by the Illinois General Assembly as the Missing Child Recovery Act of 1984, or iSearch, which eliminated the 72-hour waiting period to initiate a search for lost children.
72 hours to start looking for kids, that's wild.
Yeah. December 11th, 1978, Rob Heist was brutally, torturously taken from this earth. He was the 33rd victim of Gacy. That day, John Wayne Gacy saw Rob was sudden and suddenly wanted to harm him. Is also the day he was supposed to be released from the Iowa Men's Reformatory if he had served his full 10 years.
So if he had served his full 10 years, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Feel like you're throwing a little shade. Are you throwing
shade? A lot of shade. I think we should throw a lot of shade.
I can't say that I connected those dots. The book that was written by his lawyer connected those. But I'm still throwing that shade for them. Because it's kind of baffling. He was supposed to be in prison for that long, mm-hmm. and he managed to take 33 lives. That's finally the end of John Wayne Gacy.
So glad.
Yeah.
Kind of hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just for being a serial killer, but also for who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Really annoying. I don't
care for his personality either.
No.
Also, he was like a creepy clown, so. He had that going against him as well.
I'm very excited to never talk about him. Never talk about him again.
At least not at length.
No.
Maybe not for a little while. Take a mental break.
My next case sort of like touches on him a little bit too, which is why I felt like I needed to do him first. Well, that was pretty much the definition of sinister.
We were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.